Green Zone, Jamie and Locker, by myself again today. Jamie will be back next week. Now, hold on. That does not qualify for our Watch the World Die. It's not a positivity playlist tune. We've been building that playlist all this week. I just keep hearing that song for some reason. And I said to Brett, our Green Zone producer today, filling in for the Under the Weather Scotty, that I wanted to kick off the show with a little Santa Monica today. I always love that tune. Okay, on the program, we got a busy one. We got Josh Lewenberg. We need to chat Raptors. He reports on that team with TSN. We'll drop the gloves again with Drew Remenda. Want to talk about Olympic snubs, maybe get a Glenn Hall story from Drew. David Mackey, he is the CFLPA executive director. I want his thoughts and a breakdown of how they put together the survey for the club report cards that was dropped yesterday. So, got a lot of questions. Actually, you know what? If you have any questions you want me to ask, David Mackey, 877-332-8255. Send me a text, all right? David, I've chatted with him in the past. He's a really good guy, very a very personable guy, and very upfront as well. So very transparent. I'm looking forward to my conversation with David Mackey about the report cards. By the way, if you missed it, they did drop yesterday, and the Rough Riders did well. One of the blemishes was how they treat families. Family care was one of the things that they obviously need to work on in the off season here. And then Daryl Davis will pop by again. I know it's not Wednesday when we get our regular visits with our double take with Daryl Davis, but I know that Daryl has some Glenn Hall stories, so we're going to chat with Glenn and Chico Resch as well. His idol growing up was Glenn Hall, so we've got him lined up for 4:35. He was obviously a goaltender in the NHL from Moose Jaw and is now actually the radio broadcast guy for the New Jersey Devils. But let's get going with the starting lineup. All right. Unfortunately, we do have to start with some sad news. If you missed it, Iron Man goaltender, nicknamed Mr. Goalie, Glenn Hall, passed away at the age of 94 today.
It would be ridiculous to try and thank all the people that I should thank. I just feel so good that my family is here, the kids and my son-in-law and daughter-in-law. And I thank the Wirtz family and the Norris family for the things that they have done for me. I do believe that, yeah, well, I'm good at that. I'm sorry, Harvey. I'm uncomfortable here. I know the players are anxious to get playing hockey. This is indeed the highest award and the greatest thing that can happen to an athlete. And I thank you people here for putting up with me. And Tony will do the rest of the talking.
That was from his jersey retirement from the Chicago Blackhawks back in 1988. A man of few words. He didn't need to speak. He spoke on the ice. And again, his nickname, Mr. Goalie, and it was well-deserved. Glenn Hall, a Humboldt, Saskatchewan native, was in the NHL from 52 to 1971. He made his NHL debut against the Montreal Canadiens in the Forum back in the day, December 27th, 1952. Hall still holds the record for the most consecutive starts at 502. This is for a goalie. 502, but if you take into consideration Stanley Cup playoffs, it's 552 straight games. That is a record, in my very humble opinion, in sports that is untouchable. That one is never going to be broken. Hall of Famer, he won a Vezina Trophy three times along with the Conn Smythe and the Calder in his 18 career. So the year he started with the Red Wings, he picked up the Calder. He won three, and then the Red Wings let him go. They gave him to Chicago. Amazing story. He won three Stanley Cups in his career. In 1952, his debut year with the Red Wings, in 1961 with the Blackhawks, and in 1989 as a goaltender coach for the Calgary Flames. Now, the interesting thing about Glenn Hall is he did all this with very little equipment. If you go back and you compare, no mask on, If you compare him, put a picture of him standing next to a goalie now, it looks like the goalies now are from another planet. This guy had hardly any padding on in his upper body, like zero pads and no mask. And this is when men were men. This is a real hockey player. And we lost him today. Sad day today in Saskatchewan and for the hockey world. He finished his NHL career 407, 326, and 164. 2.5 goals against average and 84 shutouts. Here's another one for you. That shutout total to this day ranks fourth all time in the NHL. We'll move over to the NFL with the least surprising story of the year so far. Mike McDaniels is no longer the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Third quarter, about the 5 minute 16 mark, you spoke to Justin Fields on the side. It seemed like you said to him to stop running the ball. Did you kind of knew that that's what the game plan was for them going into the game? Or
no, I just wanted them to stop scrambling. And it was pretty irritating because he didn't listen at all. He didn't take the coaching.
Well, that one needed to happen. I'll have to bring that up when we get Darrell Davis on, because we talked about this last night that we were surprised that McDaniel kept his job. He was with the team for 4 years. The Miami Dolphins are now looking for a new head coach and a new general manager because they let Chris Greer go in the middle of the season. The Dolphins finished up this season 7-10. Here's a statement from the owner, Stephen Ross. After careful evaluation and extensive discussion since the season ended, I have made the decision that our organization is in need of comprehensive change. Now, the interesting thing about this is this Dolphins head coach firing means there are 8 vacancies in the NFL right now for head coach positions. The Ravens, the Cardinals, the Browns, the Raiders, the Falcons, the Giants, and the Titans. It is going to be a crazy, crazy offseason. In the NHL, the Habs win their first home game of 2026.
I can't figure that out. Carrier down low. Texier scores! Didn't know where the puck was. Montreal has it. Penalty coming to Calgary. Hudson scores! Patrick, ball down by Kapanen. What a stop. What a rebound. Kapanen scores!
Is it just me or is that horn annoying? All right, the Habs, like I said, they win their first one, and that was over the Calgary Flames. 4-1 was the final. Montreal Canadiens, 3-goal second period was part of the reason why they got that one. Texier had a goal and 2 assists. Fowler is the new kid between the pipes. He had a decent night, 28 saves. Lane Hudson now has 3 goals and 4 3 goals in the last 4 games. Up next for the Montreal Canadiens, they will host the Florida Panthers. I hate to admit this, but the Habs look good this year. I actively cheer against that team. The Utah Mammoth will host the next Winter Classic, and they got a win last night over the Sens as well.
Carlini cuts it out, comes in front, they score! To Keller, shoots, just missed. Marino, he scores! Off the Edwards, John Marino! Tana behind the net, trying to wrap it around. It's loose in the crease. Trying to get a pass, Marilainen. They continue to jam at it. It's in! It's in! Is it Boots' goal? It might be Tana's. Doesn't matter. 3-1 Utah.
All right, there it is. The score from last night, Sens 1, Mammoth 3. And again, the Winter Classic is going to be next year in Utah. They don't have a football team, but they've got a football stadium, so they'll be playing the game there with the mountains as the backdrop. That'll be an interesting one, and at least that's weather that should sustain a outdoor game for the NHL. The Mammoth are in their second season after taking over from the Arizona Coyotes back in April 2024. So you had to see that one coming. And it looks like they don't have any dates or a lot of details. They just sort of announced the game. But it looks like they're zoning in or they're focusing in on the Colorado Avalanche for that matchup in the Winter Classic. I always enjoy the Winter Classics. This one this year down in Florida was weird, but they're still kind of cool. I think more than anything, the more I've overthought this in the past. I'm like, what are you doing? What do you got an outdoor game in Florida for? But at the end of the day, I think these are more for the franchise. They can put ice anywhere now with technology, and it's more for the fans that are going to go to the game, because anybody who goes to these winter classics is always blown away. Now, I got a couple of calls from the NBA finished last night for the Raptors. IQ with a buzzer beater. This is the Raptors call.
1.6 to go. Mamu quickly for the win.
And I wanted to play the Hornets call because I thought it was funny.
Oh, no! Oh! No! Emmanuel quickly wins it for Toronto!
That's the first buzzer beater for the Raptors in years. The final, if you missed it, was the Toronto Raptors 97, the Charlotte Hornets 96. Raptors' fifth win in six games. They're sitting in fourth in the East right now. That's the first buzzer beater. Yeah, I did look it up. Since 2021, Canadian RJ Barrett, he had a decent night, 28 points and 7 rebounds. He came alive in the fourth quarter. Up next, the Raptors have a bit of a tougher schedule here, but they'll be in Boston on Friday night. And coming up here, we're not too far away. We occasionally will catch you up to date on what's happening with the Toronto Raptors. We'll do that in like 10 minutes with Josh Lewenberg, who reports on the team for TSN. A couple of injury updates that I didn't include in the starting lineup coming up next from the NHL when the Green Zone continues. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Picking up her vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
This is the Green Zone. There we go. That one. That one is on the Green Zone Positivity Playlist for the new year. If you got one to add, make sure you text it in 877-332-8255. We'll try to find time to play these as well. We've been doing this all this week, doing the solo shows. We got Jamie back next week. So wanted to do something with all the crazy news and the world sort of crumbling around our ears. I thought we would do something at least with a playlist. How do you combat bad news, Locker? Well, tunes. Tunes and beer. And I'm not drinking right now because I'm trying to get better. Brad Marchand, day-to-day, he'll miss his matchup, Panthers-Canadiens, tonight. Maurice was saying that that he is still day-to-day, so they're keeping an eye on him. He was hurt in that game against the Leafs. And it didn't look like much, but I think it's actually been something nagging. We'll keep an eye on this one because he's obviously part of the Olympic team, too, that was announced not too long ago. And then the Leafs, Nylander, he is out against the Flyers. He'll miss his sixth straight game. Hopefully he has a clean tank top for the press box. What was that? I'm having a really hard time with this dress code thing for the NHL right now. I don't know why. Does that make me old school? But when the camera shines up on Nylander in the press box at a home game and he's sitting there in a tank, I want your thoughts on this. You kind of want them to have their own identity. Like, I get that, but that bugged me. It just, like, put a suit on. What do you, I don't know, a tank top? What are you doing? Listen, you don't have to put a shirt and tie on, or, you know, like, I don't. Anyway, 877-332-8255 if you have a thought on that. This is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker, again, a nihilist program. You got Locker, and you got Josh Lewenberg, who reports on the Toronto Raptors for TSN. Let's start with last night's game, Josh. What a finish with the quickly buzzer beater.
Yeah, I mean, an ugly win, but a win nonetheless. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty at the end, certainly. A game winner that actually counted, of course. Brandon Ingram hit what would have been a game-tying bucket. at the buzzer. Turns out it was just a split second after the buzzer. That was a couple weeks ago, and now this one actually falls and counts, and a game that I'm not sure the Raptors deserve to win necessarily, given how they shot the ball, and kind of ironic that they were shooting so poorly, like historically poorly for most of the game, and then it's a three ball that ends up winning it for them. But they certainly showed a whole bunch of resilience, as we've seen a few times over the last few weeks. The big comebacks against Golden State and Orlando come to mind. And look, that's the mark of a good team, is a team that finds a way to win, even on nights where the shots aren't falling or it's not pretty, or maybe you don't so-called deserve to win. But like, yeah, at the end of the day, all that matters is that you do. And they are showing some character in these games, finding a way to pull it out in the fourth quarter. And in this case, without your two best players on the floor for, in the case of Brandon Ingram, all of the fourth quarter, in the case of Scotty Barnes, most of the fourth quarter. But it was IQ who hits the big shot at the end, and then they don't get to that point. They don't have an opportunity to win at the end if not for RJ Barrett, who really stepped up in the absence of BI and Scotty. So I think really impressive that they're able to come away with a game that, I mean, they probably should have had a lot easier than that, given the level of competition and the fact that Charlotte had already beat them twice this year. So they were highly motivated coming in, found a way to pull it out at the end, and very quietly now they've bounce back after a rough stretch about a month or two ago. They've won 8 of their last 12.
So if we take a look at this season as a whole, I think this is a surprising club right now. Where did this team come from? Where did this Toronto Raptors team come from, Josh?
Well, I think they have a pretty good idea of what their identity is. Like, they know the blueprint. They know what they need to do in order to win games. That doesn't mean that they're able to do it every night. And I think that's the mark of a young team, is just that inconsistency. And we've seen that throughout the season, the ups, the downs. And even in the course of a single game, as I mentioned, like, it hasn't been pretty recently. They've fallen behind early on, and it's taken some fourth quarter comebacks in order to win some of these games. But again, like, they know how they need to play. And the blueprint is to move the ball, share the ball offensively, and to be really aggressive on the defensive end, fly around, cause havoc, create turnovers. And that's something, especially as the year has gone on and they've gotten more comfortable in Darko's system, more comfortable with each other, that's something that they've gotten really good at. Especially late in games where they really lock in. And this is really looking like one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. And again, really encouraging that when they do lock in, when it's winning time, when they have that sense of urgency, that they're able to pull it off. I think so much of that has to do with the defensive prowess of Scotty Barnes, who has really taken a step forward, I think, on both ends of the floor this year. But he's looking like an all-league defender, the type of player that, for years, I think is going to challenge for Defensive Player of the Year. He's going to be in that conversation, especially if the Raptors continue to win. But then the versatility and I think the adaptability of some of these other guys, Colin Murray Boyles getting more minutes and doing a really good job defensively. I think RJ Barrett has been better on that side of the floor. They've really, I think, raise their ceiling with what they're capable of doing on the defensive end. So, yeah, I mean, I think they've certainly exceeded expectations to this point in the season. Their schedule hasn't exactly been a murderer's row. I mentioned that they've won 8 of their last 12 games. Only 2 of those 12 games came against top 6 teams in either conference, teams that are currently considered playoff teams. And 10 of those 12 opponents were missing at least one of their top 3 scorers. 7 of those teams were missing all-stars. Now, yes, the Raptors have been missing Jakob Poeltl for a big chunk of that as well, so they haven't been fully healthy. But I think they've caught a few breaks here, which, like, that's not to take anything away from them. You can only play the schedule that's in front of you, and they've taken advantage of it. All of that is to say, though, they do have one of the tougher schedules in the league over the duration of the season. And especially these next 3 games, they all come against teams that are either right above them in the standings, in the case of Boston tomorrow, or right below them in the standings, in the case of the back-to-back against Philadelphia. So I think this will be a more telling stretch, a stretch where we might learn a little bit more about where this team stands right now going into the halfway point of the season, and hopefully they'll have Poeltl back for at least two of those games. He's been cleared for contact. It sounds like he's been getting some work in, some practice time in. Possible that he's back for tomorrow's game in Boston, and if not, probably one of the two in the back-to-back against Philadelphia.
Josh, let's get a little bit more on your take of Canadian R.J. Barrett. Last night's win over the Hornets was a big one, and he was engaged. He was chirping the other bench, and he had a great fourth quarter, like you've already pointed out. What do you like about Barrett's game right now?
Yeah, well, that's two games in a row now where he's been pretty quiet through the first three quarters and then has just gone crazy in the fourth quarter. He did that against Atlanta earlier this week as well. And to me, like, that is the mark of a winner, where it doesn't matter how you're shooting the ball or what's happened earlier in the game. Yeah, you have to have a short memory. And when it's winning time, you've got to step up. And that's what RJ does. And, like, tell me again that this dude isn't a winner, because I've heard that quite a bit over the years. I've heard a lot of RJ slander over the years, and I know a lot of people have. People will point out, okay, well, he's not a great defender, or he doesn't shoot the ball well enough, this and that, whatever. But I'll tell you, it's gotten awfully quiet on that front since RJ went down with his injury, missed just about a month of time. And in that time, the Raptors' offense fell off a cliff. Right? Like, they were the fifth-ranked offensive team before RJ got hurt. They were dead last in the NBA during the 15 games that he missed. I believe they're now 16-6 with him in the lineup, 7-9 without him. The old saying is, you don't know what you've got until it's gone. And I think while most people knew that RJ was valuable, especially to this team's offense, but especially seeing what it's looked like without him, like, there's no question now, if there ever was, what an important player he is on this team. And I'll say this too, is like, there are a few reasons why this group has been able to work together this year in a way that I'm not sure we expected. Like, there were a lot of questions coming into the year about, can Ingram, Barnes, and Barrett coexist, given there's some redundancy in terms of position and skill set, where they like to operate on the floor. But I think RJ has been the key to making that work. He has really sacrificed this year, at least changed where his touches are coming from. Last year, without Ingram, with Barnes out for quite a bit of the season with injuries, he was the guy that this offense leaned on. He had the ball in his hands, whereas this year, he's had to accept that in order to make an impact, he's got to do more with less. It's less about necessarily pounding the ball, pounding the rock. It's more about, like, cutting and crashing the offensive glass, running in transition, finding ways to play off of those other two guys. He's done such a good job of that. But in the case of last night, where those two are not in the lineup, all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, the Raptors need the RJ to do more. And I think that's what I've been really impressed with, is he has such a great recognition and acceptance of what's needed from him and when, and he's just looking to play his role and do the most that he can within that role. So I think he's having a great season, an efficient season, and really showing why he's an important part of what this team does.
Josh Lewenberg reports on the Raptors for TSN. One quick one for you. We'll leave it with this. Is this a playoff team?
It's definitely a play-in team in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, I think they're a playoff team. I mean, the East is wide open. So, I mean, a few things. It'll be interesting to see how some of these teams look over the next few weeks, especially the Raptors facing a tougher schedule. And then also, what do some of these teams do at the trade deadline, the Raptors included? Because I think you can talk yourself, a lot of these teams can talk themselves into being one player away from really pushing to contend coming out of the East. I think as things stand, I don't know that this is a top four team in the East, but I think this is certainly a team that's capable of pushing for a top six seed in the East. And I mean, man, like, it's been a minute since the Raptors have played meaningful basketball in April and in May. So I think I speak for a lot of people, a lot of Raptors fans and people around this team when I say, like, be looking forward to seeing that for sure.
Josh Lewenberg, thank you for your time, my friend.
Absolutely. Anytime. Take care.
Raptors have, well, they've been making a bit of a noise here as of late. I want your thoughts on the dress code in the NHL. 877-332-8255. We're going to be chatting with Drew Remenda. And the only reason I bring it up is because the other night, Nylander is sitting in the press. He's hurt right now, and he's got his tank top on. And listen, I know there's no more rules revolving around the dress code. And I am not even a shirt and tie guy. Like, I'm not a... Like, I got runners on right now. I got jeans. I'm a jeans. That, to me, was ridiculous. Some of the theme stuff when all the teams are wearing T-shirts, like, I can wrap my head around that. But I don't know. I don't want to be a stick in the mud. I'm not the guy that says they should be wearing three-piece suits to the game and out of the building every night. But I think there's got to be some kind of a limit. Am I off base here? I will bounce this off of Drew when we drop the gloves with Remenda here in a bit. 877-332-8255. We did get a text from Scott. He says, I 100% agree with you on the NHL dress code. It's a slippery slope. The next thing you know, they're going to be wearing Spider-Man pajamas to the games. He also brought up, can you imagine what Grapes would have said on Hockey Night in Canada if he had seen Nylander in the press box in a tank top? And is that part of the reason why they're doing it now? Grapes isn't around. That might actually have something to do with it. This day in sports history up next. The greatest golfer of all time turns pro, and MJ, a milestone from him. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hepbridge Farm remembers.
This day in sports history, January 8th, 1962, Jack Nicklaus turns pro.
Maybe. Yes, sir!
I will say this. I still think you got to put Jack ahead of Tiger as the greatest golfer of all time. And that might be a controversial statement, but if you take a look at the number of majors won, he's still sitting at 18. Tiger is at 15. And just based on what's happened to Tiger at the back end of his career, I am not sure he's going to get caught. By the way, that was from his 1986 Masters victory, where he was put out there as a starter, an honorary starter, and then he won the whole thing. And again, 22-year-old Hall of Fame golfer Jack Nicklaus got his professional career going. And he tied his first match at 50th at the Los Angeles Open. Things went a lot better after that. Also on this day in sports history, January 8th, 1993, Jordan makes 20,000 points.
Williams across the timeline. As it tipped, and guess where it goes. Could be it.
Now, it might be a controversial statement to suggest that Jack is a better all-time golfer than Tiger. Is it controversial to suggest that Michael Jordan is better than LeBron? I side on the Michael Jordan side of things. I don't know if that's just my distaste for LeBron, but that was back from 1993. He had a 35-point game that night and walked away with his 20,000th point, the second fastest to reach that milestone after Wilt Chamberlain, who did it in 499 games. So there you go. A couple of moments in this day in sports history.